This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome. Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Show your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. Hour one down, hour two. Getting ready to kick off. 5 o'clock hour. Mike Yam of the NFL Network. He'll join us to talk a little NFL draft. At some point, we'll get to some NBA lifetime bans. That was a fun little story.
Yeah.
I'm going to make me defend gambling. But let's switch gears here and talk a little NBA Portland Trailblazers. Joining us now, you can find his work, RoseGardenReport.com and the 2023 National Sports Media Association Oregon Sports Writer of the Year. I guess, well, tied. I mean, so give him half a Sports Writer of the Year. The great Sean Eichen joins us. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Are you a little bitter that you had to win the award with Demi Lawrence? I mean, you win Sports Writer of the Year, but it's you win half of it. It's like the old college football days. We had to split a national championship.
You get a whole trophy though, so I'm not. I can't really be too mad at
you. Don't get like I thought it was like maybe like joint custody. You got it for 6 months. Demi gets it for 6 months. Something like that.
I'll have to talk to her about working that out if that actually is what it is. But no, it was cool to even be tied for something like that. That was fun.
No, that's cool. Like anytime you get you're a little biased. That I never was seeking anything like that. But it's always good to be acknowledged, and especially when you kind of venture out and do your own thing. That's cool to be recognized by your peers like that. I hadn't talked to you since I saw that, so I just wanted to say congratulations.
I appreciate that.
Exit interviews. Were you as confused as I? Like, this year felt so weird. Right now, this organization feels so weird in that they say one thing, and yet, to me, it clearly feels like they're trying to achieve something else, and yet they continue to sell us on this idea that it is about winning and being competitive when clearly, at every turn, they've told me that that's not what this is about. Is this a case of mixed messaging, or is it just a must-lie situation, or do you think there's something else happening?
Well, I think it's really, I think it's pretty clear what's going on. You know, the head coach who has lost a lot of games in his 3 years in Portland, some, you know, this year by design, the last 2 years, not really by design, just by circumstance. He doesn't want to lose more games. He wants to go in and try to actually, you know, put some wins on his coaching resume and actually, you know, take a step forward. But, you know, Joe Cronin, I actually think Joe was pretty honest on Monday. You know, he said something to the effect of, we're not going to win at a high level until some of these young guys are ready, and didn't make it sound like that was going to happen right away. Like I didn't hear Joe coming out and saying, you know, we want to be back in the playoffs next year. We're ready to, you know, win now. A GM can't come out and say on the record. I mean, I think must lie situation is kind of a good way of putting it. A GM isn't going to come out and say on the record, oh yeah, you know, we know that next year's draft class is the draft class that people are really going to be gearing towards. So, you know, we're going to be really bad next year again. We're going to try to lose games. A GM is never going to say that, yeah. But you know, I think Joe was pretty upfront that he doesn't view this as we just need to add one more piece and then we're, you know, back in the playoffs. So you understand it from his end, and then you understand it from Chauncey's end, where, you know, he's had to deal with whatever has been thrown at him by the injuries, the trades, you know, games trade requests, whatever goes on. And he's trying to actually have some continuity and start winning some games. And that's his priority as a head coach. And, you know, you understand why that's his priority as a head coach, but you know, it's just an interesting dynamic that they're going to have to navigate.
Can that coexist? Because this year's draft, you know, you've got some picks in a draft that most people are and don't really want to be involved in. Next year's is supposed to be, you know, this three or four true difference makers. This year you have what, third or fourth worst odds. You know, you're going to have a very high pick. Next year is the one you want. Can you navigate those things where you get growth and development from your young guys? You're more competitive. You're as what Chauncey wants. But next year is the year that you want to have a top three pick.
It is. And, you know, this whole idea of, you know, we're going to develop, you know, young guys, but also try to win. Like it's very, very, very rare that actually works out. And when it does, it's like, it has to basically be, you know, you're San Antonio and you have, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili still playing at a high level. And then you've got Kawhi Leonard coming in as a rookie or a second-year guy, and he's, you know, the type of guy that, you know, it's pretty clear he's going to become the type of guy he's going to become. It has to be that level of talent. Even the Warriors with, you know, three Hall of Famers, they try to do the two timelines thing, and that hasn't really worked out for them the last couple of years. So that's not really a very compatible thing, and I think everybody kind of knows that. And I think the organization kind of knows, feels more like Chauncey saying he wants to win, you know, win a lot more next year. I mean, that's him, but I didn't get the sense from Joe's exit interview that that's necessarily the view that he shares. I think he knows what the deal is and what they, you know, for the best interest of the organization, what they're going to have to do next year.
When you look through contending, because I when I look at this roster, I see a bunch of potential solid players. Like you look at Scoot, I think Scoot's going to be fine, but Scoot doesn't strike me as a star. Simons doesn't strike me as a star. Sharp, I guess you could say maybe have that potential, solid player. Ayton's is a nice center, but there's no stars. And I look around the league, Boston, New York, Milwaukee. You certainly look at Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, Dallas, Phoenix. There's not one, there's two. So when you look at this, is this all a moot point until you find a top 15, at least one top 15, top 20-ish player? And is that guy on the roster, or is this one of those that the next two drafts are going to have to try to produce that, or we're just back to spinning our wheels?
You're absolutely right. That's pretty much the exact right way of putting it. They have to have the guy, and I don't know who the guy is. I don't know if it's anybody on this roster. I would probably agree with you that out of the guys that are currently on the roster, Shaedon Sharpe probably has the highest ceiling, but I don't think it's a sure thing that he becomes the guy. Like you look at some of, and I, you know, even besides some of like the obvious, you know, established, like, you know, the, like Denver with Jokic or, you know, Giannis or Embiid or whoever, or Luka, you look at some of these kind of up and coming teams that are now where, you know, Portland wants to be and were where they are now a few years ago. You know, Oklahoma City, who was just as bad as the Blazers are now a couple years ago, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's an MVP candidate. Yeah. Indiana, who's back in the playoffs for the first time in a few years, they made that trade with Sacramento and got Tyrese Haliburton. He's their guy now. Minnesota, you know, they got the number one pick in a weird draft that kind of nobody really knew what was going to come out of it. They clearly took the right guy with Anthony Edwards, and he's their guy now. The Blazers need their guy, whoever that guy may be, whether it's somebody that they get in this coming draft, or whoever they get in next year's draft, or maybe Scooter Shaden turns into that guy, or maybe, and this is, you know, in the case of both the Thunder and the Pacers, maybe they trade for the guy. Maybe you get that, whoever that is, and I don't know who that might be, but, you know, maybe you try to kind of buy low on somebody who, you know, is young enough to, you know, be able to grow with these guys that you think has the potential to turn into that. Like however they end up getting the guy, they have to get the guy, or else this rebuild is kind of going to be stuck where it is now.
We're talking to Sean Hyken, RoseGardenReport.com. So going into the offseason, I mean, outside of the draft, which, you know, you swing and miss, or you swing and miss, or you swing and hit. We're hoping, like you said, you find the guy. What do you think this roster, some of the moves as we go into the offseason, you know, what happens to Jeremy Grant? What happens to Brogdon? Or does the roster kind of look somewhat similar but add some draft picks to it?
I don't think they can run this roster back, just both because of roster math. Right now they have 14 guys under contract for next year, and they're going to have 2 first-round picks. So that's already more guys than you're legally allowed to have on your roster. So they're going to have to do something. And then the other thing is that this roster as it is right now, when you look at how much money, you know, Jeremy Grant is making, you look at how much money DeAndre Ayton is making, Anthony Simons, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, you go down kind of at the top end of the roster. They have guys making a lot of money. And this, like, as of right now, they're set, if they keep this exact roster, they are set to be in the luxury tax next year. And obviously it makes no sense to pay the luxury tax for a team that is several years out from even being back in the play-in, let alone being in the playoffs. So one way or another, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to make some changes to just to make the math make sense for this roster. And I think Malcolm Brogdon probably makes the most sense because he's going into the last year of his deal, and it's more important now than ever to figure out, you know, what you have with the three guards, the Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, and Anthony Simons, because Scoot's still a rookie. Scoot's going to be, you know, it's a few years before you have to make any decisions on Scoot, but Shaden Sharp and Anthony Simons are both going to be up for extensions after next season. You have to decide whether those are guys you want to commit to long-term. And having a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, who, you know, can help a lot of contenders and still is very valuable. And as much as, like, they liked what he brought this year as far as, you know, being a veteran in the locker room and, you know, a mentor and all that kind of stuff, and it was very successful in that way, he's still good enough that he needs to, you know, get real minutes, and you have to give those younger guys real minutes. So I think it makes the most sense out of the veterans to, you know, try to move on from him this off season. And I would expect that probably happens. Jeremy Grant's a little bit, you know, just like at the deadline, I don't think they were really that interested in moving him at the deadline, but, you know, this off season, maybe they decide to go a different way. I could see that one going either way, but they're going to have to do, the roster is going to have to look different next year, just from a math standpoint.
What do you make of, you know, whether it's Jeremy Grant, whether it's Ayton, whether it's Brogdon, like, this is not a great situation here. It's a bad team. It's going nowhere. And yet you hear from all these guys, some of them veterans, like Ryan Brogdon and Grant, talk about that they're just thrilled to be here. Like, you hear a great locker room, and, you know, this just isn't normally the case with veteran guys on bad teams in a city like Portland. What do we make of that? Why is that? Is it just that good of a group of guys? Is this a Chauncey thing? Is it an organizational thing? What is that situation?
Well, first of all, I think it is a really good group of guys. And I have to say, having, you know, covered this team all year, I haven't seen a lot of teams that are as bad as these guys are, that are, have this good of a locker room. Like, I can honestly say, you know, everybody got along. There was no drama. There was no, oh, this guy doesn't like that this guy is playing ahead of them, or, you know, this, you know, these two guys are, you know, in a clique and don't really talk to anybody. Like, you see a lot of that stuff, especially on bad teams, or like guys just are chasing their own stats. And I honestly did not see any of that at all with this group. And I think part of that is that, you know, the front office has done a good job of selecting for certain types of guys to bring in, and that's something that they valued. And that's why, honestly, that's why they wanted to keep Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Grant around, because those two guys are veterans that kind of set that precedent and that other people, you know, the younger guys on the team respect. And honestly, for as much flack as he gets for other things, I think you have to give a lot of that credit to Chauncey Billups, because he is, you know, because of who he was as a player and because of just kind of his demeanor and, you know, the way that he can connect with guys, he is somebody that people respond to and that people stay bought in with. And so I think those two things are, you know, as much as, you know, we're talking about how great of a culture a 21-win team has, you know, it's honestly, as someone who is around as much as anybody who isn't employed by the team, I saw it, and I don't think any of that stuff is blowing smoke.
Well, unfortunately for the fans, I get the feeling that next year is going to be a little bit of the same. You know, and that's a shame. The attendance this year was pretty good, but you know, when you hear 70% viewership, you know, down in some shape or form, it's not good. This is the problem with rebuilds. Is this is technically year four when you consider the 2 years where they pulled the plug at the end of the year. And where you start losing year after year after year, for a lot of people, you just get out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, no, I think the local TV ratings falling, I think that has more to do with the TV deal than anything, and how Root Sports, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. And I think that's something that I think they're looking at ways to kind of make, you know, change that situation at some point this summer too. But yeah, that's why these next few years are going to be interesting, because I think, the next season is going to be record wise and, you know, how much of a chance they have to make the playoffs wise, it's going to be very similar to what it was this year, and you know, with kind of the selling point of it being that next year's draft class is, like, there are some guys at the top of it that people say are you know, it's a much stronger draft class than the one that you're going to see in a couple of months. But I think the thing you would hope for with the record next year being what it is that the guys that they're trying to develop and build around long term are just able to stay healthy longer, and you can actually see them play together. Blazers, this is a mind-blowing stat, and the kind of the thing that has been the takeaway from this past season. The Blazers' five most important players, which are Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Anthony Simons, DeAndre Ayton, and Jeremy Grant, they played together. They were all healthy at the same time for four games this season, and one of those was opening night when Anthony Simons tore his thumb and then missed the next 6 weeks. Like, after that, like, you just never got to see these guys together. So not only did they lose a lot of games, you can't even look at it and say, well, we saw 30 games of Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe playing together, and we feel good that this is our new backcourt of the future, because those guys barely played together because of one of them was injured, and then when they got healthy, the other one was injured. It was just one of those years where, like, I don't want to call it a lost season, but it was kind of a lost season.
That's kind of my thing, is I just feel like it was a bit of a waste, because, you know, when you're going to lose, you would hope to see that development, and I don't think you can even say at this point who's really a cornerstone, right? Looking ahead, like, who do you build around? I think every one of those guys you put up there is a big old question mark. And I think that's the frustrating thing. But maybe next year, you know, that becomes a little more clear, and you end up with another high pick, and we'll see what happens in this year's draft. But, Sean, appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us. Always find his stuff, rosegarden.com. Sports Writer of the Year for the state of Oregon, does a great job covering the Blazers. Really appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you a little closer to the draft. And, you know, hopefully we find the guy in this year's draft, and we don't have to have this conversation next year.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. Sean Eichen, again, read his stuff, rosegardenreport.com. We come back, touch on a couple things that he had there, and some NFL news and notes that we'll get to, and then in the news coming up next, primetime here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're talking to Sean Eichen there of the Rose Garden Report. It went a little long, but we'll get to it in the news here. We'll keep this short. But I wanted to follow up, and I said this the other day, and I'll scream it from the mountaintops in regards to the Blazers. It's going to be a bad year next year, right? It's not going to get any better. And that's, you know, Sean's in agreement there. Like the GM isn't necessarily saying that, but obviously the coach has to say it. You're coaching for your job potentially, and no coach wants to lose. And anytime you're involved in a tank, remember, the player is on the floor and the coaches aren't actively involved in the tank. Right? Unless your last name is Porter, no one tries to lose games in the NBA. We'll get to that, by the way, how dumb you can be. We'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour, dumbass. And by the way, don't blame gambling. Blame the dumbass that is gambling.
Yeah.
Freaking ridiculous. So I don't blame Chauncey, and I don't blame anyone for I guess, trying to speak it into existence that you're going to be better. But you're not, because it's not the goal. The mission from that front office is to not win games. Just isn't. And I'm not certain how much better this roster is next year. It's going to be another rough year. And then hopefully after that, with two top three picks this year and next year, in theory, right, then you have your young core and you move forward. You think about it, if you add a top three or four pick this year, depending on how the ping pong balls drop, and you add that to, again, top 10 picks between Sharp, Simons, whoever you draft this year, hopefully another one next year. I'm sorry, if you can't make that work 4 years in a row drafting extremely high picks and supposedly having a decent collection of roster players around you, then that's just on you. It means you just missed in the draft. So I understand that you may have to kick this down the road another year. But this is what I'll scream from the heavens and what I was talking to Sean about. None of it matters unless you find in the next two drafts, you find a better player.
Bona fide superstar.
Look around the league. It drives me crazy that people are like, collections of talent winning the NBA. No, they don't.
Collections of superstars winning the NBA.
Yes. You go through who are the real contenders in the NBA. The Boston Celtics have two, if not three, all NBA guys. Four, if you want to add in Porzingis. Dude, that roster is ridiculous, by the way. Top to bottom, I mean, there's depth across the board, but you know what they have? Three All-NBA guys in Jrue Holiday, Tatum, and Brown. Tatum, by the way, playing his best basketball of his career. The Knicks, well, I mean, the injuries have riddled that. But the Knicks have, with OG, All-Star, Jalen Brunson, who's going to be a top five MVP guy, and when healthy, Julius Randle.
Yep.
Milwaukee. What do they have?
Dame, Giannis, Chris Middleton.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, a defensive player in the year type in Lopez as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Cleveland's got a couple of them as well.
Yeah, they've got Garland and Mitchell.
Yes. And then you go through and the Oklahoma City has four. Denver has two. Mm-hmm. Minnesota has three.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas has two. Phoenix has three. Stop. Collections of talent don't win. Stars win. Stars.
And one is the stretch starting point.
Yes.
And you don't have that yet.
No. So you can go back and say the last team with a collection of talent to win, if you want to go back and say that Pistons team, Chauncey Billups is a Hall of Famer. Rip Hamilton was really good. Ben Wallace was a Defensive Player of the Year. They weren't as talented as the Lakers as far as star power, but collections of talent don't win. All NBA guys win, and you don't have a single player with the Blazers right now that even sniffs the idea of being an All NBA player.
No.
When they put together the list, I looked at three different people. It was like Hoops Hype, The Ringer, and ESPN put together their top 100 players in the NBA going into this season. The highest ranked player they had was Scoot Henderson at 50.
Who hadn't played a game yet. Who hadn't proven a thing yet.
And by the way, if you redid that, Scoot ain't making the top 50. Scoot ain't making the top 100.
No.
And I think Scoot's going to be fine. Showed some flashes there. But this idea that Scoot is somehow like this generational player now.
I'm going to that lake.
What we were told he was at the draft. That ship has sailed. I think he can be really good.
Well, that ship never left port, and exactly. That's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
It just stinks that he was set up that way.
Yes, and I think Scoot's going to be fine.
Yep.
I think Scoot's going to be a good player. Is Scoot going to be an All-NBA guy? No. I don't think anyone would bet on that.
That means you're a top 15 player in the league, right? Because you have three tiers of All-NBA.
Yes.
So maybe 3 or 4 years from now, we don't know. But from what we've seen so far, not yet. He's not that guy.
And it's not Anthony Simons. And I really like Anthony Simons. Anthony Simons is a damn good player. And maybe one day Anthony Simons can make an All-Star team. Anthony Simons ain't carrying anybody. Shaedon Sharpe, that's maybe?
We don't have enough of a body of work to judge,
maybe,
though, do we?
If no, oh God, no. But if you're going to just say, is there someone on the circuit? Because it's not Ayton. Ayton's a nice player too, but Ayton's not 2 years into this league. At this point, Ayton is what he is. And when motivated, Ayton's a top five center in the league. But he's not dominating anybody. He's not carrying you to anything. He's a nice player. He's a good starting center. I think he's an upgrade over Nurkic. I'm glad you got him. Had a great second half of the season. But he didn't move the needle. The only one, and Jeremy Grant's a nice player too. Jeremy Grant's not an all-NBA. Stop, you know, he's like the 70th best, 65th, 70th best player in the league. The only one you could say that even as a potential, and by the way, it's almost ludicrous to say, is maybe Shaedon Sharpe could turn into that. And that's a big
and giant. A lot of things would have to happen for that to be the case.
God, yeah. So this idea that this collection of talent is going to morph into something, not unless you find the guy. And it's going to either come in this year's draft with a top three or four pick, or it's going to have to come in next year's draft. Because if you find that guy, if you draft that guy, if you draft SGA, if you draft Luka, and you don't have to have the number one pick. Neither one of those was number one pick.
Nope.
If you draft that guy, or you find a way to go get Halliburton, wasn't drafted. He was traded.
I don't even think he was top five, Halliburton.
Well,
in
Indiana traded for him.
Right.
Right? That is the Sabonis deal. Right? Yep. And he came over. Unless you bring in that guy, what you're doing is just spinning wheels.
Mm-hmm. No, you're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, as they say.
Yes.
It doesn't mean the deck chairs aren't nice, but they don't have a rudder that moves that ship.
So, you know, regardless of what anyone tells you, regardless of what the GM tells you, regardless of what the coach says, regardless of any of that crap, the only mission you have over the next 2 years, I guess year, right? This year's draft and next year's draft, what you do in this offseason and what you do in next year's offseason. The only thing that should matter, the only thing, is finding that guy. And it's easier said than done. I get it. But that's the only thing that matters. I could care less about player development. I could care less about anything else. Find that guy. Preferably, find two of those guys.
Well, you're going to need at least one. It doesn't, and it probably doesn't start unless you got two.
Hit a triple in this year's draft, hit a home run in next year's draft, and then everything else falls into place. But unless that happens, all you're doing is hitting singles, maybe doubles. And that's not good enough. Because then that's where we've been in this organization for the last 20-plus years. And I don't want to go through another iteration of six seed, and it's a good collection of talent, and we, you know, we fill up the Moda Center. No, it's the only thing that matters, finding that guy, and don't let anyone tell you that they have that guy, because they don't, not even close to it right now.
Nope.
When we come back in the news here, though, Buck with Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're running a little tight on time, so we'll get right to it. Remember, Mike Yam, NFL Network, the Yammer, one of our favorite people, will join us at 5:15, talk a little NFL draft. But it is April 17th in the year of our Lord, 2024. That means it is time for In the News. I'm your Noted News contributor, sitting in for your Noted News man, Asachi. He'll be back tomorrow to regale us with tales from the Masters and Peyton Manning hangouts. It is National Banana Day, which I'm very much pro-banana. I'm surprised that bananas are as controversial as they are.
I think for some it's a texture thing, for some it's a phallic thing.
Yeah.
And then additionally, it's like, I don't know, banana feels like it's a flavor really unlike other fruits. You know, like apple and pear are kind of similar. A lot of berries kind of taste similar. A lot of citrus kind of similar. Banana's kind of its own thing.
Look, if I'm power ranking fruits, banana's top three for me. I eat more bananas than I think I do any other fruit.
I think I do too, but that doesn't make it my favorite. I think I like other fruits better, but I don't eat them as much.
I like oranges, but I don't eat them because they're a pain in the ass.
Strawberries, because they're too sweet, too much sugar.
Well, and I never, like, I don't know. They're just, it's one at a time,
yeah,
and they go bad.
Or you got to wash them, cut them up, whatever, yeah.
You know, the banana's easy. It's got the built-in wrapper right there. They're quick to go down.
Nature's wrapper.
Yeah, it's bananas are solid. And I love banana cream pies, bananas Foster.
I don't think I've ever had banana cream pie.
Oh, it's so good.
I have had bananas Foster. Delightful.
Banana milk. If you're ever in the market and you see those Nestle Quick, you know, those things. And they've got, like, the strawberry, the chocolate.
I've seen strawberry. I've not seen banana.
Get the banana. It's delightful.
I like banana bread.
Yeah, banana bread, it's great. And yet everyone always craps on the banana. I'm not here for it. The banana is fantastic. It's also National Crawfish Day, which who doesn't love a good crawfish boil? Okay. And it's also National Haiku Day.
Ah.
If you don't know, the haiku is the Japanese poem form, 5-7-5.
Yeah, in five, that is syllables. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables, three lines.
Yes, the most famous haiku is by the Japanese poet philosopher Basho, who says, "An old silent pond, a frog jumps into the pond, splash, silence again." A haiku, ladies and gentlemen, the most famous haiku of all time.
That was outstanding. I liked that.
That's, again, my interpretation. Thought I really hit the splash.
It was well done, yeah.
Do what I can.
Performance art.
Bad news. Bad news. Oregon Ducks defensive back, Dalen Austin.
Yeah.
He was a freshman last year, only played in a handful of games. So he actually got to redshirt. So he's technically a sophomore, but he'll be still a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. He's not playing anytime soon. He was arrested on a hit-and-run charge on Monday that unfortunately has turned into a felony fatality hit-and-run.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure of all the details. They're still kind of trickling out, but he was involved in a crash that killed a 46-year-old man. He fled the scene. He's been initially charged with felony hit-and-run. A representative of the Eugene Police Department said it's a complex investigation. The Eugene Police Department is still gathering information to be submitted to the Lane County District Attorney's Office for a final charging decision. Police said in a news release the crash happened around 9:10 p.m. Monday on West 4th Avenue and Polk Street in Eugene. He was arrested at an apartment a little more than 2 hours later. He remains in custody in the Lane County Jail and is scheduled to be arraigned. Actually, probably would have already happened by now. Because I think it went down Wednesday.
I believe I read on Twitter now that he has been released.
Okay.
So he's no longer in custody, but I believe he's being charged with felony hit and run.
Yeah. So he was a 4-star recruit, top 150 player coming out of Long Beach Poly in California. He was a big deal. He was initially committed to LSU, changed his commitment and went to Oregon and was viewed as a guy that they were hoping to kind of take that next step. But that young man is dealing with a lot more things right now than worrying about football.
Yeah, and some people have said don't be quick to rush to judgment on this one because the details are a little bit odd. I'm reading one tweet that says sources indicate Austin was fearful for his own safety as a part of this unfortunate incident, resulting injuries were not immediately known. So he may have been involved in some altercation where he was fearful and left because of that reason, but we have to see how it plays out.
I don't know. I haven't even seen bouncing because at this point, when you get on Twitter, I always have to be careful in these sorts of things because, you know, you're hearing, well, I was there and someone I know heard this, and there's the idea of, like, did he hit a man in another car? It sounds like this wasn't a vehicular accident, necessarily where you think like a car crash, maybe hit an individual that was outside of a car. And like you're saying, now there's details of saying, was he fearful? Was he trying to flee it? Who knows? So I try not to. There is a lot of different rumor and speculation going around out there.
And last offseason, there was an issue with an Oregon player and I believe a firearm. And he ended up being, like, I don't want to say let off the hook, but he ended up not being charged or in trouble in relation to that matter.
Yes.
And ended up playing. Everything was above board.
So we don't know. We just know that he is dealing with. I mean, anytime you hear felony hit and run and someone has died, just put a pin in it and we'll kind of wait and see how the story develops. But I just know you don't want your name attached to that. That's the last thing you want.
KEZI has released additional information so I can share this line. Quote, the 46-year-old victim was found in the road with a large laceration to their neck and a hammer nearby.
Huh. Well,
it says the hammer nearby is relevant to what transpired in the hit and run.
Yeah, because that's one of the rumors that was going around that someone was chasing him with a hammer.
But now this is from a news station report, not just a rando on Twitter.
Exactly. So now we've got that because that was the one that I saw last night.
I didn't see that until today, but now it seems like more people are saying that, including news outlets.
So did the laceration come from being struck with the vehicle? Was that some other who knows?
Yeah.
So ugly situation. A man has lost his life. And we'll see what happens. So no rush to judgment on this one. We'll just kind of take a step back. But an ugly incident down there in Eugene. All right, we come back. We got some homeless news. We got some more Alaska Airlines kerfuffles. Hopefully you weren't trying to fly out on Alaska Airlines this morning. More when we come back in the news here on The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Cruising along here in the news, trying to find a better story than what we had with
it's a little rough
hit and run. We have more details. We mentioned yesterday that the ex-Beaverton mayor Dennis Doyle was arrested after probation violations. You know, he got convicted of the old child porn, and as part of his sentence and probation, he's not allowed to have access to unmonitored electronic devices. He was arrested yesterday. He wasn't arrested on any sort of probation violation in regards to child porn. He was arrested, though. It turns out that he had 19 different electronic devices in his home that the federal probation officer was unaware of.
Oh, so they're like, yeah, you can't have any electronics. He's like, okay, I won't. And then he had 19 of them.
He had 19 of them. And the one that he got busted with, he had the home laptop that was being monitored, I guess. But he wasn't supposed to have access to it. He had the password, and he claims that he was helping his elderly wife learn how to pay bills on that computer.
Uh-huh.
And that's how that whole thing got started, which he's not supposed to have the password for that, along with the 19 other devices. So that's why he was busted for the probation violation. He's trying to do that.
I'm sorry. You get caught with horrible images that are inappropriate and have no business on your computer, you lose your internet privileges for a while. Sorry, it's how it goes.
Yeah, you can't. You know, I love the idea, like, your wife needs to pay online bills, and so there's no one else that can help her learn how to do that. You're like, honey, I got this. Hold on. I know I'm not supposed to be on the computer, but let me show you what I'm doing. And by the way,
how much older is his wife? Why can't he just tell her?
Well, they're both like in their 70s. So okay. You ever tried to, like, my mother?
I guess if she hasn't been doing it, that could be a daunting task. But again, you're the one that got caught with the illicit images. Figure out how to figure it out.
Have you ever tried to explain electronics to an elderly parent?
I remember when we gave my grandma her first cell phone and she didn't understand how to use it, just like a regular phone.
Yeah, I had to explain Spotify to my father and my stepmother, who are wonderful people.
E-books or a Kindle was another fun one. My grandma used to read a lot. We got her one. She's like, well, why wouldn't I? Yeah. She didn't know about the loading the books and the switching the pages.
I got him a Bluetooth speaker because they like my dad like listening to music and like, and so I was like, hey, you
which
guys
in
can,
theory seems like a great gift.
You can do all of this. At one point, my wonderful stepmother kept bringing up CDs from downstairs
and wanting to know if Spotify could play them.
Yes, and then was like, is this on Spotify? And I'm like, yes, it's everything is on there. And she'd be like, what about tracks? Yep, that whole out, it's all right here. I spent an hour trying to
explain how
Spotify works. And free Spotify versus the paid Spotify. It was it was a whole thing. And she just kept going downstairs and coming up with more CDs. And I'm like, no,
this isn't gonna help.
That's the whole reason. You don't need those CDs anymore. This takes care of those CDs. And she was like, well, can I still play them on our stereo? Well, no, that's why you're using Spotify. That's why I got you this speaker, so you can play it on this speaker, because their stereo is from 1982. And I'm like, well, no, you can't play Spotify off your phone onto that. But that's why I got you this speaker. So I do buy that. Yes, if he may have needed help explaining to his wife how to pay bills online, but you can't have 19 other devices.
Yeah.
And when you do get caught with the child porn, you lose all benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
By the way, more Alaska Airlines kerfuffles.
I saw this.
This morning, I guess across the country, every Alaska flight was grounded for a brief period of time. This included at PDX, and they're saying that you may see delays throughout the day. The ground stop went into effect 7:30 a.m., and then it only went for about an hour, and the airline said it was due to a technical issue that was quickly fixed. But like when I saw that this morning, I got an alert on my phone. My gal is flying for work. I was like, oh, no, not again. Because all I saw was Alaska Airlines grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, come on. Come on, Alaska. What else happened? But no, I guess
I was thinking, what if they turned Rob's flight around?
How angry would he be if that had happened? No, it was a really minor sort of thing.
It sounded like they had like a signaling device or a programming device that wasn't updating, and they needed to make sure everyone was going to do
that. There's a system that calculates the weight and the balance. You know, that's why you can't have like unlimited baggage. So I guess there's like a whole formula there, and that wasn't working well. So they just had to put a pause in everything for an hour.
They didn't want to send planes up in the air not knowing if they were getting those calculations right.
Yes. So everything's fine. No big deal. Fly Alaska. Nothing to see here.
We think.
Boeing and Alaska need a break. They need a break. It's, you know, just it's been rough times. And then I saw this. This is from Multnomah County. They did an outreach team created to address the Multnomah County's fentanyl addiction crisis.
Okay.
They did a study there. This was in December. December 13th through December 14th. They decided to do a survey to see how well the needs of people in crisis were being
addressed. Yep.
So it turns out that for every 100 people that were seeking assistance, they were able to meet the needs of 14 of them.
Doesn't seem like enough.
Doesn't seem like a lot. And that's rough, because it's not all their fault. They said of the 100 people contacted during the pilot project, 26 asked for a homeless shelter.
Okay.
18% asked for detox services. 14% asked for drug treatment. 7% asked for medical care. And 6% asked for healthcare services. So, like, that's not a ton. So they said that ideally the biggest problem is still people wanting help and trusting government officials. But it just goes to highlight the challenges of this.
Yeah.
For every 100 people that you're out there trying to help, 14 of them were actually able to be helped.
And right.
They were
and able people to are get asking.
What they asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when only, you know, less than a quarter are asking for basic help, it just goes to show you that's a tough problem. Because we love to be critical of the homeless response, but they're trying, but it has to go both ways. You have to have people that are willing to ask for help. So when you're only getting 25% of the people that are asking for any sort of real meaningful change, that's a That's a tough response. It just goes to show you the battle that they are facing. All right, that'll do it for In the News. When we come back, the Hot 5 at 5. And then Mike Yam of the NFL Network will join us 5:15 to talk a little NFL draft. Primetime here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.